Hello, humanoids, and welcome to episode 5 of Apocalypse Tomorrow. One quick announcement before we get into it. We have social media now, and it is run by someone joining our team. Please welcome Natasha Heidi to the Apocalypse Tomorrow crew. She has been doing a great job getting our socials running, getting some emails sorted and everything. So huge shout out and thank you to her. Go follow us on Apocalypse Tomorrow at Instagram, on Instagram. Go, you know how to find things like that. We're going to have posts there and updates regarding the show and everything else. We want to just try and start a little bit of a community where we can actually kind of talk back with you guys a little more regularly on comments and things. So please follow us there, and we will get right into episode 5. We see a lone figure limping in the dark. The undead moans escape its lips as it struggles closer to what it smells. Something living. The brush to their side rustles, and instinctively, without hesitation, they lurch towards the foliage, grabbing at nothing. Before they have time to look up at what growls above them, they are no more. Until they begin to see once again, this time with 100 eyes and 100 different views, all flashing. Ligaments, eyes, metal eyes digging into their flesh, eyes now focused forward with a purpose. Their form twitches and writhes in anticipation, then surges forward, skittering through the dense forest under the light of a full moon.
For known failures, the Soviet Union has succeeded in observation craft on the moon.
Its hazards are hostile to us.
Russians were curiously reluctant to release the moon pictures themselves.
Luna 9 hit the moon. Of course, the signals ceased. To our astonishment, the signals reappeared.
A dead world.
The pictures showed in detail surface of shattered rock, a dead world.
Hey! Where in the blasted barnacles is that coming from? Phones! Are you trying to start your own pirate radio broadcast? Coming for the king, eh? Well, I won't have it. What? Your vast cast was just playing a band called Switchfoot on repeat? My mistake. No, I'm sure loads of people were listening. Wait a ding-dang minute. If that wasn't coming from you, then where is it? It couldn't be from... How could it be from...
Choose to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because its hazards are hostile to us all.
They have stolen our pictures for data.
To show that the soil is rough textured and sponge-like, ideal for landing a...
I was fully expecting the Despicable Me, we're going to steal the moon, to pop in there.
Did he just shoot spoons?
That was awesome.
Morning dawns. A brand new day over our beautiful little homestead. And before we kind of get into specifically what happens next, does anyone have... We're going to do a little kind of character check-in. Does anyone have any mechanics that happened before a mystery? Anything they need to roll before? Any kind of thing that happens? Just double check. And then I want to kind of go around and just check in with everyone on their character and stuff. Justin, you have something.
I do. I have the boss from beyond mechanic.
Okay.
Do you want me to read it out loud or just go for it?
Actually, can you read your kind of like your character sheet, what level you're at and kind of your
your moves and stuff, and then end with that one. And
level
10,
I have all the moves.
I am. Then I'm level 5. I've leveled up 4 times. So I have the boss from beyond.
Jeez, you suck, Justin.
I was rolling incredibly poorly.
I thought I leveled up a lot. I only leveled up 3 times.
So at the beginning of each mystery, roll plus weird on a 10 plus. Your superiors ask me to do something simple. On a 7 to 9, they ask me to do something complicated or difficult. In either case, you get to ask them one of the questions from the investigate a mystery move right now. On a miss, you are required to do something terrible. If you do not accomplish what they've ordered, you cannot use this move again until you have made up for your failure.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
Then I have the fork, the copper. I have the smite, and I have the lay on hands.
Okay, so let's do that right now, Justin.
All
right. Please roll for investigate a mystery, right? That's what you're rolling?
I roll a weird, yes.
Oh, okay.
Roll plus weird.
Time to talk to God.
Yeah, time to talk to God here. 6 and a 4 plus 0 is a 10.
Ooh.
So they asked me to do something simple.
Simple.
Kill Nicholas Frizentins. Kill him.
Smite him. Smite him dead.
Kill him now.
Nick just sighs out. Ah, yes, they'll kill
this
him.
This is it. This is my out.
Good,
I've done it.
Good, Jungo, good.
Excellent.
Kill him.
You've played into my hand perfectly. Okay. Before you wake, Jungo, in a dream, you float without feeling temperature, without needing to breathe.
Is Joel dying?
Speaking of needing to breathe.
You just throw up?
Yeah, I just actually threw up in my mouth a little bit. I'm just eating pizza. I don't know. I just ate some pizza. Tried to...
Why are you eating during the podcast?
I'm hungry. Sorry, I didn't want to... I tried to go off camera and off mic, so I didn't stop it, but I almost just yacked on the ground. Oh, goodness.
Saw your face get all red and then lean over. I'm like, oh, God, he just threw up.
Oh, man.
So Joel just keeps eating.
Okay, you okay, buddy? You all right?
I'm not talking. I can eat pizza all I need, I guess. I'm trying to keep it in my body, though. Yikes. Yikes.
Good call. Good call.
That was rough.
Let's try that again.
Yep.
In a dream, Jungo, before you wake, you're floating in some kind of liquid. You can feel resistance against your body's movements.
Gravy.
No need to breathe. A glint of light catches your eye, and buried beneath something, you feel, you taste metal, and the letters RNGR. And then you wake up.
That was weird.
Dr. Loomis.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
You wake up choking.
You like threw up in your mouth there for some reason.
Oh, sleep apnea. What a bitch.
A little piece of pepperoni flies out of your esophagus onto your bed.
Is that pepperoni? I haven't had pepperoni in... Holy... What the...
Yeah, let's get a rundown of Dr. Loomis. What's he got going on?
So he's an expert of sorts. Of sorts. Medical and otherwise. I'm level 3. I've leveled up twice. I have a move called Precise Strike, which I have never used correctly, so maybe I'll do that now.
It's okay. I haven't been using the advanced moves correct at all. I'm about to fix that.
I wish you wouldn't. It also is roll plus tough, which is -1 for me, so I don't know why I took that one. And then I have preparedness, which when you need something rare, I can roll and see if I have it. I also have the Haven at the old ranch. And I have recently remembered that I have a mode of transportation, a vehicular device that it's been in the shop for a while in storage. And there's also something percolating in this old man's body. Something foul. Not sure.
Excuse me?
Well, my first level up hasn't come up yet.
Very interesting.
It's pepperoni based.
Perfect. We're on the right track. Colton, you awake beside your bed, an empty bowl of gravy.
Gross.
The morning is yours to do what you will. Today is the day that you will travel to Brick City. Dr. Jacob, you of course know where Brick City is. It's the closest city to you. You forget the name that it used to have, but you do know that it is called Brick City, and you know the general direction. You have transportation. You have a hearse.
Absolutely.
And you have no snakes in your yard to contend with, which is a beautiful thing. What would you all like to do?
Well, can I just get an empty bowl of gravy and not a character chicken?
Oh, shit!
Seems unfair.
can we check in on the bowl of gravy, actually?
Yeah, it's empty.
Yeah, let's get the stats on the bowl of gravy, please.
How was your nighttime gravy, son?
Colton, let's get a check-in on his character.
I'm level 4. I actually have a curse that I haven't been using, which I should probably use in this moment because I feel like this would be the first time it really comes up. So my curse is to feed. I must subsist on living humans. It might take the form of blood, brains, or spiritual essence, but it must be from people. And I have to act under pressure to resist feeding whenever the perfect opportunity presents itself. And I feel like when everyone else is sleeping would be probably the perfect opportunity.
This would have been great to know.
I know.
And use previously.
I didn't have any opportunities before.
We rewind time yet again.
To the very beginning of the campaign.
Colton, the door creaks open and you don't even remember how you got into Dr. Jacob's room. You're just hungry. Give me that roll to resist.
Oh, no, watch out.
Watch this completely derail everything.
No, I've never done this before.
That is a 9.
A 9. The keeper is going to give you a worse outcome, a hard choice, or a price to pay.
Don't like that.
Yeah, I'll fake the moon landing.
Colton, there is an incredibly moldy sausage of pepperoni under Dr. Jacob's bed that you notice. You can choose in this moment to feed on that or feed on him.
I'm going to choose the moldy sausage. I'm not going to eat my friend.
Put down that hammer.
You bite into it, the fuzziness, the texture.
I taste nothing. It's not human flesh.
The last remnant you toss as you leave the room as quick as you can, not wanting him to wake up and see or have to explain the situation.
Stick him up, Abraham.
And then Dr. Jacob, you wake up choking on pepperoni.
Blasted cured meats.
And we flash forward. You are all packing up and getting ready to go on this journey. Is there anything...
Where's Nicholas Friesenens? Or what's his name again? Did I get it right?
Yeah, some.
No, it's Nicholas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
He's still sleeping.
You two can see Dr. Loomis has been just amped for this. He hasn't gone on a road trip in several years. So he kicks open the door and he's got his zip-off pants, like his zip-off short pants, you know. He's got a fishing hat on and like, what do you call that, a fanny pack. He's got sunscreen underneath his eyes and on his nose.
Full vacation dad.
Up and at 'em, boys. Today's the day. We're getting out of here. Let's get on the road. All right, everybody get together.
Is that some kind of military uniform?
the fun military, the cool one, where we go and see things like the world's largest bucket and, you know, an aquarium. I don't think those really exist so much, but maybe we'll find one.
A bucket?
Are you ready? Yeah, you know, people used to do this. They do the world's largest, and it'd be like the world's largest goose or turtle or hammer or, you know, various things, and they were fun to take pictures in front of it. Be like, hey, look at how small I am, and there's this big moose beside me, you know?
So the object is to feel small. Okay, I can do that pretty easily.
Where exactly do you think we're going there, Doctor?
That's a weird thing to draw from that, but we're going to Brick City. Good old Brick City.
Are there lots of these attractions on the way to Brick City, or...?
You know... World's largest stapler used to be between here and there, but who knows if it survived.
Maybe they have the largest brick.
One big brick. It's all built in a brick.
Who's going to wake up the Cholas?
Oh, he's in the car.
What?
Yeah, I yoinked him in his sleep, and he's in the car.
What?
Well, I knew he wouldn't come willingly, but we can't leave him here, right? Like, what happens if a horde shows up? He doesn't know what to do.
Well, I mean, I agree.
I thought that's what the Roomba was for.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about him, you know, forgetting about the Roomba and stumbling out there, and... Oh, that would be... We'd never
Where
find
him.
Where
is the Roomba?
Yeah, it's out and about. It might be sleeping, or hiding, waiting, who knows?
Holden, do you have anything to bring?
Everything I own is on my person at all times, so... No.
Neat. Okay. Sure, let's go. Wait, I can't drive.
I'll teach you.
I assumed the doctor was going to be the one driving.
No, I'm going to teach both of you. It'll be great. It's nice
and
slow.
I mean, I've driven before, but...
Oh, yeah, you're fine. You're fine. It'll be good. These cars basically drive themselves.
Yeah, I believe you. That makes sense. You're from a different time. Can I be in the front seat?
You can choose whichever seat you like.
What do they call it? Pistol?
Rifle? What is it called?
Buzzsaw.
I think you have a revolver. That's what you got there.
Well, I'm calling revolver, so I'm going to be in the front.
Excellent.
The barn doors open, and the beautiful black hearse comes rolling out, puttering at just a nice slow speed. Is there anything you all want to do before you head out?
Are you sure he's in there? I don't see him in the car.
I don't know, I tied him up in his bed sheet so he couldn't escape.
I opened the back door to the hearse.
Nicholas.
You see a moving amount of bed sheets. Hey,
it's okay.
I've been kidnapped.
It's just me, man. You know, I know how anxious you get when you leave the house, so I thought I'd help out and, you know, get you on your way.
What do you mean? You don't even know me. Why did you do this to me?
I can't leave you here with my goods. Okay, I don't trust you. You're coming with.
Oh, I don't... What? Why are my hands and legs tied?
Your own safety.
You shut the hearse door and you all pile in and head out.
Is there a back seat in the hearse?
Yes, where the coffin goes.
Yes.
Well, that's the trunk part. Is there an actual back seat?
That's a good question. Is the coffin in there? Or is it just space for a coffin?
I think at one point there probably was a coffin, but I think it's long since been lost.
Cool. All right. So there's lots of space in the back.
Lots of space.
Yeah, but is there an actual seat, or am I just sitting in the back with a tied up?
We'll give you a four-seater. We'll give you a four-seater.
Yeah.
Hearse with room for.
I'm just
a
thinking
coffin.
Of a station, a very long station wagon. Now
it's basically it, what,
that's
it
pretty
is,
much
yeah.
what it is. Yeah. Yeah. As you drive off, puttering. Through the fields.
This is slow.
Yeah, is this as fast as this thing goes? Because most other cars out here go a lot faster.
This is real slow.
Yeah, we call this procession speed. the reason I was able to acquire this beaut, you know, on such a small dime was, well, the transmission, not the best. So it doesn't really shift out of this.
So, one question then, if we happen to encounter any raiders, how are we supposed to get away from them?
In the past, I've just pretended like there's a funeral happening, and they've kind of gone around.
I find that hard to believe.
I put my flashers on and I roll down the window and, you know, wave them ahead. There's something about a hearse.
A bunch of raiders.
Something about a hearse. People just don't question it. You know, there's like a real human condition that they go, oh no, someone has passed. And everybody knows what that's like. So, you know, they give a wide berth and I go on my way.
Have you actually ever taken this thing out before? Because it doesn't sound like you have.
Oh, Colton. This car has been more places than you could imagine.
I highly doubt that.
You drive for a number of hours.
And make it 30 feet.
I gotta Google what procession speed is.
We decided that it's around like 15 to 20 kilometers an hour, somewhere in there. Yeah, so we'll say around 15, because I wanted it to be like just fast enough that you could sprint for a short distance to catch up with it.
Right.
But like not very long.
I like that.
Isn't this one, like, heavily armored or something, Les, we talked about last time?
Oh, yeah.
Is there any kind of upgrades to it?
Yeah, we made modifications. I can't remember what they were, though.
Me neither. I didn't write it down.
It has tags. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I think we did
We chose armored and frequency. I can't remember the other one.
You have a truck van car built for monster hunting. Choose two good things and one bad thing about it. And, Nick, I believe you gave me two bad things because you're so benevolent.
Yes.
Well, for good things, roomy surveillance gear, fast, stealthy, intimidating, classic, med kit, sleeping space, toolkit, concealed weapons. I took concealed weapons.
And armored was one of them.
Armored, I believe. Yeah. And then the bad things was it was slow and I think obvious, right? That makes sense. It's a 1967 Cadillac hearse.
a 1967
yeah,
Cadillac
hearse.
Shit.
Yep. They're built to last.
That thing's like almost 100 years old in this world.
Built to last, baby.
It is slow and obvious. How is it armored?
I'm thinking like A-Team style. Like there's a bunch of phone books like taped to the walls and stuff. You know the A-Team?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
All right. And that solves the obvious problem as well. Perfect.
Well, no, the armor's on the inside, so you can't tell. Because if somebody came up on an armored hearse, they would go, well, that we're going to take
that.
All right. It's got a 429 V8.
All right. That's too much. Too much already. We're done with that.
It doesn't have a center console.
Good. Perfect. More room for seats and concealed weapons.
All right. We're going to continue on with the podcast.
What kind of games did you bring, Colton?
Oh, I didn't bring any games, so we could play driving games like I Spy.
What does that mean?
Well, I look and find something, and then I say I spy with my little eye, and I give you a hint, and then you have to try and guess what I spy.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey, God, when I look out the window, what do I see?
In general? Like the...
Yeah, just like the general landscape. Me and Jungar are playing I Spy, so I need to figure out what I can spy.
All right, so... Roads that used to exist have obviously been overgrown for the most part. The foliage has been exaggerated and come back strongly. So you're making slow progress, honestly, regardless. So it kind of makes sense that you're going at the speed you do. The tall pines that you would see are heightened to a degree that you only know, but Dr. Loomis, these are twice as tall as pines you would normally see in the area. The flowers are large. A lot of them have become poisonous. They are dangerous to... some are dangerous just to be around. The underbrush is consisting mostly of a vine-like kind of plant that super peas grow in and mostly are covering a good portion of the area as well. That's what you see.
Perfect. All right, Jingo. Well, I spy with my little eye something that is brown.
Tree.
Hey, you're not playing this game.
Oh, my bad.
Tree.
Yeah. All right. Now it's your turn. Now you spy something and I'll try and figure it out.
I gaze up on the sky, something that is yellow.
The sun?
Yeah.
Next time, just don't give out too many hints by saying you gaze into the sky. Just say, I spy with my little eye.
But I have big eyes.
I mean, you could say I spy with my big eye if you want, but...
I told you to stop looking directly at the sun. It's so bad for you,
man. I can't help it. It's so nice.
No, close your eyes. No. I can't do eye surgery.
I start looking through all like the like glove box and stuff for sunglasses for Junko.
Passenger in the back, are you okay?
Will someone let me out of here already? I think we're probably far enough away that I can't go back.
I'll rip the sheet so his head can pop out.
Ah, hey, welcome to the party.
Thank you.
Ah. Hey, Natrolis, have you ever played I Spy before?
Yes.
Do you want to play?
Can I have my hands?
No, you don't need a hands to spy.
If your I Spy is good enough, maybe.
Okay, I Spy.
You beat Junko at I Spy. You can have your hands back.
I don't think I can play anymore. I can't see anything.
Stop. Oh, damn it.
Oh, God, he's blind.
Oh, crap.
Hours pass as you journey onward. And
Jingo's crying blood at this point.
He won't stop looking at the sun.
It's so pretty.
Can I tell you a little bit more about the hearse? I have some thoughts.
Is it just specs or is it actual thoughts?
No, it's not specs.
Yeah, it can't be specs.
I do have the spec sheet open for the production of it, but
okay.
We don't need that. I think on the outside there's like little holes, some like small pipes sticking out at different points of the body. This is to play on kind of the armored or the characteristics of the car. I think he's probably got slightly jacked up tires, like a little larger than what normally would come with it. So he's got a little bit of off-road capability. What else about it? It's got a sunroof, canonically.
Okay,
It has a canonical sunroof.
That's
I don't think that car was
rich. Hang on. Why would a hearse have a sunroof?
Well, it wasn't built with one. But this car has been...
It's just got a big hole.
It's been modified. It's armored.
I can't say no to that.
It's
fair enough.
Plus, Junko said he was looking up at the sun, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can look out the window at the sun. No, anyway, no. Yes, it's fine. No problem. I will say the obvious tag will come into play as your flashers are always on.
Always.
Your four ways.
Oh, okay.
Always. You're in procession speed. They're always on while the car is on.
The turn signal thing's just been snapped off in the hazard position.
Yeah, that checks out. The button for the four ways, like the little triangle is stuck in and all you can do is push it in further. Yeah, it doesn't come out.
Perfect.
Yeah. I think there's a few like kind of like ramming bars on the front. Not like ramming bars. What do you call those?
Push bar?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the car itself has some protection on it to maintain the structure and stuff like that. But yeah.
After a morning and early afternoon drive into the mid-afternoon, you spot in the distance far away. A handful of tendrils from the sky, lightning tornadoes sweeping across the land, setting the foliage below ablaze. The smoke billows up and catching a freezing airstream miles away creates an ashen snowstorm. This land is no longer tame. This world has been retaken by the climate, by nature, and it is furious.
Might need to put the chains on it.
Then my advice would be to avoid that area.
Yeah, we could go around.
Those storms can get pretty out of hand, so.
Junko, grab the wheel.
Wait, what's wrong? As you look down, like, I just don't have any more pupils, so just my eyes are clearly black.
Just drive in a straight line. I whip out an atlas. I'm gonna start, you know, moseying through the atlas.
In a straight line?
Yeah, straight line.
Okay.
There go. We're gonna go around. Just gotta find a route.
Junko's driving at this point. It's perfect. You've been teaching him how it goes, Jacob.
You've been teaching him, and he's been staring at the sun the whole time, so he knows nothing.
Constantly having to grab the wheel and turn. You just keep looking at the brightest thing. As our three hunters putter along.
And Natrolis.
You eventually spot a sign staked into the ground. The sign, as you come closer to it, looks homemade. It's
an old burger sign, maybe like 4 feet across, and it's been flipped around, spray painted, and it reads in three lines, "Beware, Einsat, danger." I-N-E-S-A-T.
I assume the E is lowercase, or is the E uppercase?
It's all uppercase.
Ah, bummer. Shit, I can't deduce anything from that.
Isn't that just a different language?
You park the car, reading the sign, and you overlook a slope that goes down into a wide section of road that you feel is mostly clear. It would be much easier to drive through. What do you do?
Can I read a bad situation?
Tell me what you're doing first narratively, and that will help me determine what you get in response.
Right. Is that tornado storm still ahead of us? And are we driving into like a valley, you said?
Let's say for purpose sake, just so everyone's oriented properly. Let's say you're driving north. Tornado storm is off in the east, heading north.
Okay.
But quite a ways away.
Right.
It doesn't look like you're in a valley.
Okay.
It looks like you're on a hill and there's a slope down and a pretty decent path in front of you. You can see kind of on your elevated state that it winds a little bit, but it generally heads the direction you're going. That's what you see.
Do you guys know what Einsat is? I'm sorry, I'm no help. I have no idea. What are we looking for?
I thought we were going for Brick City.
But the sign says beware and danger.
Nick, can I investigate a mystery to see if I can glean if Einsat's just a different language for beware and danger?
Sure. Yeah.
It's an 8.
You can hold one. What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? What is being concealed here?
Let's go with what is being concealed here, because that's the only thing that really applies.
You think about different languages, different translations. The way it's structured just doesn't make sense. The beware and danger, straightforward, but it seems like it's talking about something. You feel like you're just missing pieces of it, but you don't know exactly what that means. You know it's not a different language. It just doesn't make sense.
Have I ever seen Einsat on signs before in my travels?
You know what, Colton? With your history, I think this would make sense. I'm going to ask for a luck roll. Just a D6. You want a high number.
A luck roll?
Yeah.
Shit. High numbers are my specialty.
Perfect.
That's a 5.
You've seen this word before. It's in the back of your head. It's like it's on the tip of your tongue. You know what it is. You've seen it before. This is part of it. You're missing letters. You're missing parts of it. It's not quite right.
Missing letters. So it seems like the signs have been like rubbed off or something like that, or faded out or something like that.
The sign that you are looking at looks fine, but the word itself is missing letters. You know that for sure.
Jacob pulls out his birdwatching binoculars and opens the sunroof and peers down the road. If there's something, some danger over there, he's looking for... He doesn't know what Einsat means, so maybe that's like a group of people or an animal or a weather condition. So he's just kind of looking all around down the road to see if he can figure out what he's supposed to be wary of. He turns to Jungo.
Jungo, keep your eyes peeled. But Jungo's still...
I think they're already peeled.
Jungo's blind.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Jungo's blind. He's been looking at the sun all day.
Close your eyes, buddy, okay? Just close them for a bit, please, so I can sleep.
Ben.
There we go.
Okay, and then I'll do a roll, I suppose. Do we roll in this game?
Yes, you do. Read a...
Bad situation?
No, this is still a mystery. This is still a mystery.
Still a mystery?
Mystery.
Okay. Investigate a mystery, I shall then.
Can I help him out by telling him
actually
what I know?
You can do so. I will say it's a read a bad situation because it's beware in danger.
Yeah.
That's pretty fair that you're... Yeah, okay. So first, then, Colton, give me a help out roll.
See anything out there, Colton?
That's a 7.
Or, nope, sorry. That's a 9. I got +2.
Damn. A 9. Yeah. Okay.
I don't see anything out there, Doctor, but I've seen onset before. I can't place it where I've seen it. I know it's something, but the sign seems to be missing...
All right.
I don't know. I can't place it quite right, but...
Let's see what we can find.
Oh, that is a 2 and a 2. Right.
Okay, you get the +1.
I get the +1 to 5, and then, let's see. I have a +2 to get up to 7 and sharp.
Hey.
Yay!
The lenses are okay. A little smudged, but I peer through them nonetheless.
All right, you get to hold 1. What is my best way in? What is my best way out? Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? What is the biggest threat? What is most vulnerable to me? What is the best way to protect the victims?
Are there any dangers we haven't noticed yet?
You take a moment to look with Colton pointing out, trying to help out. You don't see anything dangerous. You take a good look from your vantage point. And you can't see the whole way. You can't see Brick City yet, but... From what you can tell, it doesn't look dangerous. But what you hear in the distance.
Now what?
It's those giant mosquitoes that are out there.
Engines. You hear engines.
Those sound like Raider engines that I've heard before, Nicoles?
Yes, but only in specific areas.
Let me guess, not this specific area.
No, these motors are smaller.
Shit.
What do you all do?
Well, Doc, I hope your armor will hold up because those are some raiders coming.
I'm going to roll down the window and get my arm.
To wave them past?
Good the doctor. Yes. Yes, just like that.
Chungo, if you want to keep that arm, I'd probably put it back inside the rad.
But the doctor said this works every time.
Hasn't failed yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe him on that one. I've seen a lot of raiders and most of them aren't into passing off vehicles.
The sounds of the engines are getting closer. What do you all do?
What do we have for alternative routes?
I mean, you can turn back. You can go along this route, but in a more dense area, you can kind of choose whatever you want to do.
Hey, what's your atlas say? What's the next fastest route?
Well, it's a touch outdated. They haven't printed these in a few years.
Your atlas is outdated? How can the atlas be outdated?
Well, roads don't exist. Anymore, really.
Yeah, but isn't an atlas a map of the world?
Yeah, but the world's changed, son. You know, we have the oceans, for instance. They're way closer than they used to be.
I just got that we're looking at an atlas for directions.
Yeah. Not a road map, an atlas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to come by a road map.
So you're saying it's more densely packed if we go off to the, like, veer off the road?
Yeah, along to the side. You'll be more hidden, but...
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea to pull off into the brush here and try and be a little more hidden.
You are obvious regardless, so if you want to fully... Yeah, if you want to fully try and hide, you'd have to stop the car.
I've,
like, rolled the window halfway up. My hand's like, it really wants to stay out there.
It's just shaking in the breeze.
If we pull off into the brush and just stop and turn off the vehicle, then maybe they'll just pass us off as an abandoned car.
Yeah, they very well might. Is there some
brush around?
Boys, should we? You wanna tuck down for a bit, or you wanna face these guys head on?
We can do it like in that that movie you had, Cretaceous Zoo. We can just be really quiet in the car.
Exactly.
Out of character. What the fuck did you just say to me? I heard Cretaceous Zoo. What is that?
That's exactly what he said.
Is that a film?
It's the off-brand Jurassic Park.
Oh!
Ah!
What the fuck did you just say to me?
That you, Justin, you really, like, my brain, I wanted to yes and you so bad, but I first off didn't know what you said. And
it's okay.
Cretaceous Zoo. Your jokes are way too big brain for my poor, tiny, fragile
mind. Or very
mind.
Small brain.
They use smaller words.
Cretaceous Zoo.
I was just thinking
fuck?
Of the stupid, like, the T-Rex going through, just walking over around the cars with Howard shooting right. These raiders right now.
Raiders, if you don't move, they can't see you.
Exactly.
Hey! Hey!
Oh, clever no. girl.
Clever girl.
What do you guys want to do?
The thing is, these raiders normally come a lot more well-armed than we do.
Do we know how many there are? Can you see?
I mean, I can't see them yet, but in my experience, they roam in packs of like anywhere from 8 to 15.
What kind of guns do we have in here? We have guns, right?
I would rather not resort to weapons if we don't have to. Those sounded like small engines. Maybe dirt bikes or dune buggies or quads even. So they're going to be able to outmaneuver us in the brush, too.
Well, what about like in Furious Fran? There's like, you have like a cavalry of bikes and stuff like that.
Furious. That's normally how they roam around. Is in, they have one larger vehicle and then all the small ones surrounding it, keeping watch and scouting.
So this is how we started. We should take their bikes if they're not going to be nice to us.
Furious Fred. I love that film.
All right, Jingle, you go stand on the road. When they come by, you take their bikes, and we'll just wait here in the car.
I mean, I don't want to go alone. Can I take Nicholas with me?
No, he's a little tied up at the moment.
Let me out already. Sheesh.
Nicholas, would you like to go fight the raiders, or are you good here?
No, I'm good here. Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I thought.
I'm good to stay in the car.
Yep. Furious Fred.
Mad Highway.
Okay, so you guys are pulling off to the side, hiding in the brush, turning the car off and waiting, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Nicholas, you hear that?
Yeah.
The sounds?
Yeah.
Does that ring any bells for you? You a gearhead? Grease monkey? Wrench swinger?
Actually?
Engine dude?
It sounds kind of familiar. It sounds like...
Two-stroke.
There's a two-stroke dirt bike in there, for sure. They sound really distinct, and there's something with a really high, like a sport bike, almost. Hmm. But I don't know how they would get over this terrain.
These raiders are big on converting sport bikes to off-road vehicles so they can go faster. They put big old dirt bike tires on them. It's kind of frightening. All you hear is a turbo spooling up over the hills, and then all of a sudden they're right there on you.
Hey, I dig it. I did the same thing with the hearse. That's why we can go off-roading.
What happened to the turbo?
They didn't have turbos in 1967. 76? What did I say? 67. I don't know if I also...
Wait, you modified... Hang on. You modified it way back then for the apocalypse?
No, I wasn't.
You modified it then.
I wasn't born in 1967. That was before my time. No, I modified it after with some friends, you know, for various gigs that we were doing. When did...
What the fuck kind of gigs were you doing in an off-road hearse?
Grave robbing? I don't know.
The motors come closer around this large bend.
Nicholas, I need you to lay completely still and pretend you're dead, okay? Lay in the back, pretend you're dead.
You got it.
Excellent work.
Wow, that's very convincing.
Somebody put a blindfold around him or like pennies on his eyes or something.
Unnecessary.
I just pulled the sheet back over his head.
When did engine turbos exist?
1905, it's got a turbo. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not.
I'm going to get you the engine specs. It's got a turbo in there for sure, man.
So it just spools up, but we don't go any faster.
Yeah. I need all of you to act under pressure. We are dropping the highest and the lowest.
Yeah, we're going like 15 clicks, but it's still like whistling like a turbo is just going.
The turbo doesn't engage.
Spinning up. Yeah. It never quite gets to the point where it spins all the way up.
Yeah. It just sounds like we're going to explode at all times.
It needs to go at least 30 clicks before it kicks in.
I love this game.
Sorry, we're acting under pressure?
Yes.
Okay.
Act under pressure. It's a 4 total.
Of course it
is. Good work.
Here's an experience point for Jingo.
Yep, add it.
It's going to be level 6 right away here.
Colton?
8.
All right. And Dr. Jacob?
Looking in his binoculars. Wonder if they got any slithery boys over here.
Oh.
Two ones. two ones. Here they are. Look. One. And one.
All of a sudden, through the windshield like a rocket.
Wait, so we're dropping the highest and the lowest?
Yeah, so we're taking a 4.
I'm going to mark experience before I die.
Yeah. Does that count for experience for all of us, Nick, since we're taking the four?
Well, we all failed.
No.
We did all fail. Well, Seamus did fail.
Dr. Jacob looking out through the binoculars in the car seat. Drivers. Hidden away. You've tucked the car behind some brush. Your elbow resting on the edge of the door slips, and you
knee myself in the dick.
Hit the horn as a snake jumps through the window, attaches itself to your face.
Oh, Satan!
Jingo, this is why I told you to roll the window up.
Oh, sorry.
And you hear the engines slow and begin to turn towards you.
What do you all want to do?
That's why I love that the snake jumps in. This is why I roll the window. Since then, you roll the window. We're just stuck in a car and all the windows close to the snake.
There's now a snake inside the car. The four ways are also on.
And we just honk the horn. We're freaking the fuck out because there's a snake in here.
I've gone soft in my cushy home.
A hand hits the window like in Titanic.
My eyesight's just coming back. All I see is the hand. And I freak out, so I roll the window down a bit again, and then...
then wave them
past. That's all I do.
Flag them down!
I lay down next to Nicholas in the back and pretend to be dead. Because these two idiots are going to get us fucking raided.
Jungo, we could just hop in the back and hope they don't check.
Is that the... Okay. I'm getting mixed signals. Okay, I roll the window back.
A dirt bike over top of your hearse rides over the roof down the front of the hood.
No. Oh, my paint.
Spins around. You see a dirt bike with the knobbiest tires you've ever seen. A gaming chair seat attached to it. Front basket, like you would see on a bicycle, with a zombie stuck inside so that it's stuck with its legs up and it can only reach and bite, but it's kind of stuck in its position.
That's hilarious.
On the bike, you see a guy puts down the kickstand, hops off his gaming chair. He's wearing a pilot's hat. Pit Viper sunglasses. He's chewing gum and blowing a bubble. And he's got a leather jacket that, as he spun around and put his bike down, you saw said daddy on the back.
I can't believe you put yourself in the campaign twice, Nick.
To your right side, a chopper motorcycle skids to the side so your doors can't open. It's a huge, long chopper with these handlebars that are way up high, long, sparkly tassels off of them, and down these huge forks in the front, instead of a normal wheel, is a steering wheel of a boat. There is a 1920s-looking woman on the bike who has a cigarette and one of those like long cigarette holder thingies.
She's also wearing a coats that spotted and made
the French are here.
Dog fur.
To your left, a red sport bike pulls up, blocking you in even further. There are large semi-truck exhausts coming out of this thing. Two propane tanks on the back of it are labeled in Sharpie KNOSS. And the back tire has been extended way out because it's a monster truck wheel. On top of that is some guy in a cheap bear costume. Behind you, a bump as the car lurches forward, and a wheelbarrow with a chainsaw on the back driving it bumps into the hearse. Inside the wheelbarrow driving it is a short girl in overalls who just looks up, and in the rearview mirror, Dr. Loomis, you see her go smiling like maniacally.
I turn the car on.
It's on.
Excellent.
Finally, in the back, you recognize to be a hover bike, but instead it looks like it's broken because the suspension is 2x4s and there are tires as replacement tires for the hover bike. So
it's just a
motorcycle. And there's a tall, lanky guy on it. He's got a Phantom of the Opera mask, and he's got a belt of grenades around him, and he holds one up ready to go. You see in front of you the guy with the daddy jacket hops off, swivels his head around to you, takes off his sunglasses, blows a bubble. Get out of the car.
I look to Jungo. Jungo, now we wave.
I roll down the window and just put my arm out.
Sorry, we're slowing you down. I know, hey, we got some stiffs here. We're just trying to get them home to their grieving families. Go on. Sorry.
How far behind the vehicle is the guy holding the grenade?
10 feet back.
Jungo, fucking okay. Wave.
Sorry. Go on. Keep going. Get out of here.
Guy in leather jacket puts his foot up on the front of the hood and turns and looks at his posse, his gang, and says,
What do these jokers take me for, huh? Some kind of idiot? Laugh with me.
And all of them laugh around you.
That was a good one.
I said, get out of the car. You're going to get out of the car. And then you're going to give us the car. Get on out. Or we'll blow your brains out. How's that sound? Huh? How you like that?
And the girl in the chainsaw wheelbarrow in the back revs it and it kind of bumps your car again. You look back in the mirror and she's chewing on the metal of the trunk in the back. Just...
Whoa. Okay, does she have insurance, first off? Because have you ever tried to get teeth marks out of a bumper? Come on. I'm sorry, Daddy. We got a job to do.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
Daddy, if you could just, you know, let us get these guys back to their wooden boxes in the ground, I'd be just thrilled.
I don't know what you thought was going to happen, Nick, when you said he had Daddy right on the
Daddy,
back of his
please.
Jacket.
I know. I think that was one of my first real spit takes I've ever had in my life. I did not need to. It's all over my screens. Oh, my God. Okay, Joel, what did you say?
What came after sorry, Daddy?
The last thing I want to do is make Daddy grumpy, so, you know, we're here to do a job. We're just here to get these guys, you know, 6 feet under, you know, these stinky guys in the back. Please, let us go.
He turns to the guy in a bear costume, kind of nods his head at him. The guy in the bear costume cups his hands around the window, looking into the back to see Nicholas and Colton pretending to be dead.
Yeah, there's two bodies back there. There's two bodies.
All right.
Yeah, you don't want this.
So you got two bodies in the back. What do I care, huh?
It's stinky. Oh, it's stinky in here. They've been dead for days. Weeks, even. Ooh.
That's fine. Eesh. I'll throw them out and leave them in the brush for the zombies to eat.
You're so naive, thinking that you can get dead stink out of car upholstery. Not possible.
How about you all step out of the car so we can get a look at you, huh? How's that sound? And he whips out a butterfly knife. He flips it around his hand like 40 times.
Yep.
Turns out to be a comb, and he combs his hair back.
Is he right in front of the hood, or is he like right at the window now?
He's in front of the hood.
Okay, yes. We'll step out. Sorry, the doors don't work. And I'd open the sunroof.
They also block the doors, so.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
They did block the door.
Yeah, so I can't get out.
Oh yeah.
I as I'm getting up,
Junko, why don't you drive?
Okay.
And then I whisper to Colton in the back,
the gun's beside you, Colton.
And you look to the side and you see my revolver laying the length of your body beside you. ready for a precision shot on perhaps an explosive device of sorts.
Oh, don't worry. That was my plan all along.
As I'm fiddling with the sunroof to get it open, I retrieve my flamethrower from the car.
Excuse me?
Concealed weapons, baby. I took a flamethrower on day one. Never used it. I have a flamethrower on my character sheet, and I'd like to come out of the sunroof, spray a jet of it, and say, "Time to die, fuckers!"
Oh my
and
god.
Jim, go hit it!
Florida, I guess.
Wow.
Just start driving.
Flamethrower is actually gear you get as an expert.
So, can we have Daddy get pincered as we're driving here? Is that what we're trying to do?
All right. Well, we're going to go straight into it.
I needed a better catch line than that, but I don't have one. Anybody got any ideas?
We'll workshop.
Talk about grill, Daddy.
That's better.
Fix it in post.
There's no way they can own your soul as mine, right?
No.
Probably not.
Like the church owns that one.
You want to go with your soul as mine? I mean, that's a pretty baller thing to say when you pop out of a roof.
Oh, I got one.
You got
one
it? More.
No, all I got
right.
it.
This is it.
Slow motion. You raise out of the hearse's sunroof, lifting the flamethrower in your hands, its spark igniting as Dr. Jacob Loomis shouts,
"Say hi to death for me."
Is that better?
Fire.
So edgy.
Erupts.
We can't put this episode out. I'll die.
Scratch it.
I'll die.
We'll try again.
I need you to kick some ass.
I don't do that.
You're going to have to start.
When he jumps out and yells, "Say hi to death or me," I will also make my move, but we can wait until after he finishes his.
My move will just be to step on the gas to try to pin Daddy.
And wave them past.
Yeah, wave them past.
Could it be act under pressure? Because it's like I'm like hosing down like an area. Actually, I'd like to aim for the, what do you call them?
Propane tanks?
Two propane tanks on their back.
Bear boy.
You like to turn to the left to the motorcycle with the propane tanks on the back.
It's a sunroof. I can go 360.
Like a turret.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say there's a lot of pressure on
shrapnel. Shrapnel in his face.
That's your argument for act under pressure.
I'm kicking off a scene. We're not necessarily fighting, right?
This is our... I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Act under pressure.
Excellent.
As you light up this red sport bike with the NOS takes on the back and the guy in a cheap bear costume on it.
And now that I am doing a act under pressure, I can use my ultimate move and they all die.
I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
It's a three.
Did you say three? You pushed for an act under pressure and you rolled a fucking three?
It's snake eyes plus one.
So you rolled snake eyes.
So you rolled snake eyes.
He's still got the snake on him from before. This whole time he's got a snake on.
We were talking a big game last session or last talk-lips about not using luck. Maybe this is a moment where Joel breaks
out. Know.
No.
It's up to Joel.
You know, that's actually a good point.
I don't want to force anything.
I do think like the flamethrower, it's not like an ordinary flamethrower. Like this is a Loomis flamethrower, you know? Well, like, okay.
All right, we're stretching it.
Wait, is that a stretch? That I have a flamethrower and I made it.
There's a dead star within it. That's what
the thing is.
Alive.
When I hear flamethrower that I made, it's like a lighter taped to a can of bug spray.
Well, yeah, but most people when they build a Roomba don't do what I did either. So
most people don't have access to an Elder's Horror. So
I kind of want it to work is what I'm saying. I think I got to use a point of luck. I think it's better.
Ooh. Okay.
Is the luck a reroll or an automatic success?
I'm going to just double check.
It changes a roll to a 12 or avoid all harm from an injury is for luck.
Right. That's oh, yeah, and you right. can use 8 of them, looks like, before you become doomed. 7 of them.
7, yeah.
I mean, we're already pretty doomed, so.
You spin your flamethrower to the left. You pull the trigger, and the flame at the end of the barrel goes out. You expel the propellant, but no flame. In that moment, what do you do?
Flame goes out. This has happened before. There's a Bic lighter taped to the side of the gun. It's about, well, I guess it's been 50 years at least. So it's, you know, maybe I bought it in 2025. And there it is. It's got like a dog on it. He thought, that's kind of cute. And it's happened before with this particular gun he's been working on from his heydays as a mad scientist. And he panics. He says, we're all going to die, you know?
Oh, he thinks to himself, oh, dying at the hands of raiders. I thought it would be something so much worse.
And then he realizes,
oh, no, I'm good. Yeah.
Rips the tape off the gun. It says, you know, rip in case of emergency. Long arms it. Click, 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 fires up.
The moment the Bic lighter ignites, in Dr. Jacob's head and in Jungo's head and in Colton's head, you hear a resounding bell. Fire. A 12, correct?
So it changed the roll to 12, so I guess I do get the plus one.
Yeah.
13.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
The bear costume goes up so fast, like it's made of flash paper. Beneath, a man in his underwear looks horrified as the rest of the flames ignite, and you hear of the propane tanks in the back. As the safeties pop,
I duck back in.
The rest of you, Jungo, Colton.
Thank you, DM.
Joel, you have a thing when you spend your luck.
Yeah, when you spend a point of luck, you discover something happening now is related to something you were involved in years ago. And so, Nick, I would rather, instead of, like, requiring that now, just put that arrow in your quiver, right?
If you will, allow that for me, I would love that.
I'm not gonna, I wouldn't force you to say, hey, make an important story decision as we're in the middle of nowhere fighting some no-named, well, not no-named, daddy is there, raiders. Yeah. So, yeah, when you spend a point of luck, you discover something happening now is related to something you were involved in years ago. You know, that expert special tag is part of the reason I chose the expert for Loomis. Mm. Because
sense.
I knew he had, like, projects over,
because
you know,
his backstory's full of fucked up shit.
Yeah, it's like he's got 50 years of crazy shit that he did. So, like, I thought that fit really nicely when I was making the character. That kind of solidified that I took expert, actually.
Like that.
Thank you, Joel.
Absolutely.
That sounds perfect. And before Jungo or Colton acts, I'm going to introduce a mechanic that is part of Monster of the Week.
Did we forget another one?
Another one we haven't been using.
No. This is one that is a keeper mechanic that can be utilized in certain situations.
Do tell.
Luck.
This is a six-sided dice. And this is a mystery countdown. You began at 6 with Dr. Loomis's 12. You've knocked it down to 5.
Oh.
As you see this fire ignite off to your left side.
Is Chainsaw Girl still chewing on the bumper?
Yes. She's almost through.
Shoot the grenade.
I'm going to kick the back doors open to try and hit her in the head with the door. And then, like, in, like, the brief moment when it's open, I'm going to try and shoot through the opening at the guy with the grenades and hope that, God, the door's closed off her head.
It's like a midair curb stomp.
Yes. Roll to kick some ass. It can't be any other roll. You cannot argue otherwise.
I don't know. I think mine would be protect somebody because I'm protecting everybody in the car. That is a 6.
Have you heard of this thing called luck?
I have. I think I'm just going to take the 6.
You're going to take the 6?
Yeah, because my luck thing sucks, so I'm going to take the syntax.
Okay.
Jungo, can you help with that?
Ooh.
It is too late. Damn. It is too late. Mark experience as you kick the door open in the back. It swings out, I believe, in this car, Joel?
Yikes.
The door swings open. As you kick it, you wind up, and the girl in overalls sees it through the window, pulls back. The door kicks open. It swings all the way out. You ready your shotgun, and it swings back right as you shoot, closing in front of you, ricocheting, but...
It's into phone books. It wouldn't ricochet.
Into phone books.
It's just buckshot into phone books.
No, Seamus is totally
one
right.
Harm will ricochet in the back. Nicholas yells, "Fuck!
Stay quiet!"
You, of course, negate this harm, Colton. But you see Nicholas and some blood beginning to pool on the sheet around him as he kind of squirms.
You're fine.
The chainsaw girl pulls the wheelbarrow back. The guy with the grenades pulls the pin on a grenade and throws it towards the car, aiming for the sunroof that Dr. Jacob has opened.
And I see him do this?
You do, but you cannot act.
Cool.
Jungo can act.
Okay. So this is happening sequentially? Like, I see this happening or no?
Yes.
Okay.
That is a hard move that I pulled for the failure from Colton. You see all this happening. Mm-hmm. There is a grenade flying towards the sunroof.
Sure. Okay. Primarily, my focus is I see the grenade coming towards me. I'm going to bring out the laser pointer so Bernie can knock the grenade out of, at least so it doesn't hit into the car. And then passively, if I can, I just like to floor it. Like, no driving, no, like, steering, anything. I just want to floor it. That's all I want to do. I'm not sure if I can do both, but...
Yeah, okay.
Primarily Bernie. That'd be the thing I'd want to do more.
For sure.
Yeah.
You whip out the laser pointer, point it, and floor it at the same time. The wheels do not spin as it begins to move forward slowly at 15-ish kilometers per hour. You point the laser following the grenade. It's beginning to get evening. You can still see it in the sky pretty clearly. Justin... You know what's going to happen if you fail this roll, right?
100%.
Okay.
We get to start a new podcast.
I won't fail. That's the thing.
Just
I won't
fail. Don't use luck. Whatever happens, don't use luck.
I will not fail this roll.
You are pointing a laser, tracking it in the air. You act under pressure.
Joined me in the Doom Club.
So I rolled a 6 and a 5 for an 11. So a total of 12. I told you, I'm not going to fail.
Oh,
I will not fail.
Bernie flies.
Fast as a pigeon can.
You see him make a maneuver in midair where he spins his body and kicks the grenade into the face of the guy with the bear costume. He instinctively catches it as it hits his face and it blows up. Bernie rides the wave of hot air out, soaring high into the sky. And spreads his wings majestically.
It's freedom, baby. It's freedom.
Rock, flag, and eagle.
The grenade explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not nothing.
What kind of grenade?
Your classic grenade, man.
Mm.
Classic. This absolutely explodes, dealing 3 harm to anyone within close proximity.
We ain't close.
The man who used to be wearing a bear costume is eviscerated in an explosion and the flamethrower. The explosion causes the NOS tanks to explode further. Because you rolled a 12 plus, the shockwave of the NOS tanks flips the car, speed racer style, onto its wheels again,
yes!
doing a
yes!
full rotation.
Oh, you had me!
The 1920s woman on the chopper gets smacked by a hearse propelled by an explosion and takes 2 harm.
Perfect.
She made of steel.
You flip into the brush. The dice moves down to 4.
Oh, right.
And because of the 12, moves down to 3.
Wait, but you didn't use luck, did you?
Hey, guys, can you stop rolling so good? Because this mystery is about to explode in our faces.
Was that how many people we've killed?
No, no, no. It's for sure 12s, but I don't know what the third other one is, though.
Two plus the round.
Ah, I see.
The result of this explosion, the leather jacket daddy gets flown back into his bike. The short girl in overalls, slightly far away, but kind of gets thrown off to the side along with the guy who threw the grenade. Bear costume guy, dead, gone. Can't even find a trace of him. There's no DNA. The 1920s woman tries to pick up her bike as she looks like a big wound bleeding from her head as she picks up her still smoking cigarette from the long cigarette holder thingy and smokes it as she tries to pick up her bike. You all flip in the air and land. What do you all want to do?
I want to start driving. We'll start puttering along.
Right? You were flooring it anyway.
Flooring it, yeah. Look, that's how I move.
So we did a barrel roll over this lady.
You hit her in the process, but yes.
Sweet.
Are we like right next to her? Like just on the other side of her now?
Yeah. Like you've kind of flipped over to the other side of her. She's like kind of on the ground trying to pick up her bike.
Like is she close enough that if I open the door, it'll hit her?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Can I just try and slam the door into her?
You turn to the side and try and kick this door.
Pick up her bike, I'm just going to try and hit her with the door.
please let the same thing happen.
That's a 12.
Yeah. Oh,
there it is.
I rolled a 9 and I got a plus 3.
Another 12.
Is he going to drop like a nuke on us when we get to zero? Yeah,
that's the mystery. The mystery is how the nuke got up there without a plane.
Mystery counter goes down to a 2. You kick the door. She's just on the verge. There's a point right before where the bike becomes less heavy, where it's the heaviest it can be at 45 degrees. She's right under it. You open up the door and it kicks her foot out from underneath her. The bike falls on top of her and the door slams into her head as you kick it open. What is your, like, unarmed attack?
4.
What?
Yeah, because it's my base is claws, so that's 2 harm. And then I add an extra 1 to it, and then I add an extra 1 for unholy, or claws of the beast. So my base unarmed attack is at 4.
The bike falls on her. With the door hitting her head, her body twitches and revs the engine. It spins around, and the front steering wheel of the boat smacks her head as it spins around, just blowing it to pieces, the skull just becoming more and more fractured until it's just the jawline.
Kick the door open, she loses half her head.
Yes. Oh, she's dead, by the way. You see Daddy yell, "No!"
And we slowly putter away.
Jugo hits the gas and you go, leaving the body there. The back tire over the body.
Almost doesn't have enough velocity to get over that. Gets stuck for a second. It
gets a little hung up. Yeah, try and hit it a couple times.
Dr. Jacob, what do you want to do?
Who's left? I assume the man that had the grenade is dead, because most people don't hold a grenade and live, right?
No, he threw it.
Oh, I thought he caught it again.
So he's alive, along with the overalls girl and Daddy.
They seem to be pretty fond of Daddy.
Aren't we all?
Daddy's got to go.
I take Jacob pops back out of the sunroof and points the flamethrower at Daddy.
Okay, Daddy, let us go, and we can forget this. How's that sound, pal? I don't want to kill you, but I will.
He turns and puts on his sunglasses and then whips them off, furious, and says, "What have you done with Chaz?"
He sighs.
Should have worn sunblock. You know, the UV is dangerous.
And I toast him.
No, you didn't answer me about Chaz. Roll to kick some ass.
Okay.
Just in case.
Let's see. Here we go. Snake eyes. Okay, that's actually not so bad. That's a 7. No, wait. 7 minus 1. Fuck.
That's an experience point.
That's an experience, yeah.
That's called leveling up.
Did you level up?
I level up.
Hey.
I'll take something boring just for you, Nick.
Take a +1 or whatever you use to kick some ass.
Yeah, I could do that.
He turns and he looks at you. Click. You're out of fuel.
Dang. Shit.
He spins and gets on his motorcycle in his gamer chair. He puts his sunglasses on and then whips them off, furious. You'll remember me, and I'll remember you. And he takes off, leaving the girl in overalls in a wheelbarrow with a chainsaw and a tall, lanky guy with a Phantom of the Opera mask on a hover bike with wheels. They kind of look at him and look at you.
Hello.
And the lanky guy turns his bike on, flips you off, spins away, following Daddy. Girl in overalls looks up at you, baring her teeth.
She's like the Tasmanian devil.
As she pulls the chainsaw and spins away.
For a second there, I thought we were going to be able to recruit the girl with the teeth.
Yeah, it's like Bioshock. If we save her, we get powers.
I mean, we can maybe follow them if you want to try.
No.
The mystery counter goes down to 1.
Oh, no, it's the storm.
Behind you. High up in a tree.
Oh, I know that.
You see a figure, a silhouette against the evening. It's become too dark to make out any details. You don't know if they're humanoid, but what alerts you to their presence, for you did not see them before, is what they say.
Well, what a bunch of dipshits.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Who are you?
Me.
Oh no.
I'm Vengeance.
I'm not gonna do a Batman too. Come on.
He even did the college humor Batman face too.
Yep. Pulling the mask.
Apocalypse Tomorrow is voiced by Seamus Dack as Colton Armstrong, Justin Vijay as Jungo, Joel Enns as Dr. Jacob Loomis. And I, Nicholas Friesen Enns, was your keeper and editor of this episode, with assistant editing by Joel Enns. Natasha Heidi, our new social media manager, runs our socials, which you can find here at Apocalypse Tomorrow on Instagram. A quick shout out to Solomon Schlegel, and the incredible cover art, as always, is by Connor Walgoose. Thank you very much for listening to this episode and the first one in this new arc. I hope you're as excited about it as I am. Normally, at the end of me talking here, I would give a little preview of the next episode. However, due to some scheduling issues, we had to push some stuff back. So I was brainstorming with Joel, and he came up with an idea to add this little snippet at the end. So I hope you enjoy this little extra gift in replacement. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Shit. Recording 26. This morning you woke up and had to wake a massive number, so don't worry. Everything went well. Next up, daily training. You did super, super really good, except you injured your shoulder practicing with your grappling hook. So make sure to make up with it within, like, the next couple days. Maybe skip leg day or something. Next, you continued your tracking northward for the anomalies. you found one more site. The same thing happened to all the others. You couldn't find any other clues except for the dragon scales, and you still don't know what the frick those mean. Oh, important. You are out of canned beans and have moved to canned carrots. I want to frickin' kill myself, so find something out soon. Also, look for a lighter cape. The one you have is way too heavy and is holding you back. As well, add to the cool band names list, Rogue Alpaca. I think it really has potential. I will keep myself updated with any new updates. Right now, I'm stalking a cat that I want to eat for dinner. Goodbye, future self. Me out.